turn that hand clap into a prayer meeting. Would you lift your voice? You shouted with a loud voice. Can you pray with a loud voice? Come on. Come on, Jesus is here. From the front to the balcony, would you lift your voice? Open your mouth and begin to pray for an outpouring of the Holy Ghost. Come on, in the mezzanine. Every eye closed. Let's have a prayer meeting right now. Come on, I feel the Holy Ghost. God, let there be an old-time anointing. I would baptize this house. Come on, I feel a shift happening in the Holy Ghost right now. God's come to redeem some people tonight. Hallelujah. Surely, the presence of the Lord is in this place. And I don't want to be like Jacob was when he said that. He said, surely the presence of the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not. I don't want God to move and I not be moved. I don't want to get so accustomed to good church that he can move and I'm not moved. But God, if you're going to move anywhere, how about right here? I want his presence to know where I sit when I go to church. I want him to know what pew I'm on. I want him to know where I'm at. God, if you're going to heal anybody, I want you to know where I'm sitting tonight. I feel Holy Ghost in the house right now. God came to break the chains off a struggler tonight. God came to take a hold of a young person that's headed for a crash in hell and turn your life around before this service is over tonight. Have your Bibles. Let's turn to the Gospel of Genesis, the 37th chapter. While you're turning, I want to say what an honor it is to be invited to preach at this meeting. Give honor to Bishop Holmes and his wife. I have a lot of respect for them. I love them. They have literally blessed all of Pentecost. Give honor to your pastor and his wife. We love you both. We love your family. Thank you for being my friend and for putting up with me as an evangelist. Thank you for the basket, this church. What tremendous preaching we heard from Brother Carroll last night. I wish all the young people in Red Bluff had been here to hear that. Thank you, Brother Carroll. So glad my family was able to make the trip with me, my beautiful wife, who's really the only reason I got invited, because they love her. And my beautiful children. She's the prettiest first lady I've ever seen. Give honor. My parents are not here tonight. I believe they are watching. I owe them my life. I'm thankful they raised me in truth. We brought Brother and Sister Yant, our youth leaders from Red Bluff, with us on this trip. He's a great help to me there in Red Bluff. And this is their first time in Little Rock. Well, I've come to reach for people tonight. I've come with a burden on my heart, and I felt impressed in prayer that God spoke to my heart and said, there's going to be futures forever changed for some young people in this service tonight. This is going to be a moment for some people in this building that you can mark it on your calendar. That was the night everything changed. God, I feel the Holy Ghost in that right now. I'm coming for you, struggler. God's got too much invested in you to let you go to hell without a fight. Anybody feel that right now? I feel liberating power in the house. The devil's a liar. There's going to be redemption that takes place in these next few moments. Hallelujah. Genesis chapter 37. We'll begin reading in the third verse. Now Israel loved Joseph more than all of his children because he was the son of his old age. And he made him a coat of many colors. When his brethren saw that their father loved him more than all his brethren, they hated him and could not speak peaceably unto him. Not everybody's going to appreciate the favor of the Father on your life. And Joseph dreamed a dream, and he told it to his brethren. And they hated him yet the more. He said unto them, "Hear, I pray ye this dream which I have dreamed. Behold, we were binding sheaves in the field, and lo, my sheaf arose, stood upright. Behold, your sheaves stood round about, made obeisance to my sheaf." His brethren said unto him, "Shalt thou indeed reign over us? Shalt thou indeed have dominion over us?" Notice this next part. And they hated him yet the more for his dreams and for his words. And his response to their hatred of his dream was, and he dreamed yet another dream. And he told it his brethren and said, "Behold, I've dreamed a dream more. The sun, the moon, the 11 stars, they all bowed to me." He told it to his father and to his brethren. His father rebuked him and said, "What is this dream that thou hast dreamed? Shall I, thy mother, thy brethren indeed, come to bow down ourselves to thee on the earth?" And his brethren envied him, but his father observed the saying. They hated him yet the more for his dreams. And I've come to preach to some people tonight, overcoming dream killers. Overcoming dream killers. Would you lift your voice? Let's pray right now that the Holy Ghost would baptize us. Come on, let's do it right. Let's lift our voice out loud, and let's specifically ask that Jesus would step down and alter the course of somebody's life in this service. Come on, if you know how to pray, now's a good time. God, I pray conviction would work. God, I pray there'd be victory in this house. God, I pray there'd be an old-time anointing that would destroy every yoke of bondage. Somebody's got God's attention already. Come on. Take a few more moments. Somebody's already feeling something starting to lift in this building. God, in the name of Jesus, I pray, God, that you tear down every wall, remove every resistance, bind every distraction. Let the liberty and the anointing of the Holy Ghost destroy every yoke of bondage in the name of Jesus. Praise God, you may be seated. I've stepped to this house in this pulpit tonight. I've come to be very direct. I know there are some that are going to feel like this wasn't for you and this is a waste of your time, but I've come to be like a sniper tonight. I've come to pinpoint some talented, intelligent young people who have a call of God on your life, yet you are in the throes of battle with hell over your soul. I've stepped to this pulpit tonight with a mandate from heaven to get in front of some people that have a plan from God for their future, that the devil is trying to destroy them, mess them up, pull them out of the church. And I've come to get in between a young person and hell and try to get some people to turn their life around before this service is over. I've come to preach to some people that don't even realize the decisions you're making are bringing you in the wrong direction. But I've come by the help of the Holy Ghost to believe that God's going to turn the lights on for a struggler in this service tonight and help you to realize, as the preacher preached last night, you are better than what the devil's been telling you. You can do better than you're doing. Come on, are you hearing the man in the pulpit tonight? I've come to defend the dream. I've come to defend the call. I've come to preach some people out of hell. I've come to preach some people out of sin. I've come to preach some young people out of carnality. I didn't come to impress you. I didn't come to play games. I came to go to battle for a generation of apostolic young people that's got more potential, that's got more talent, that's got more ability than any generation ahead of us. And you need to understand, God's got more for you to do in life than to just clap your hands every once in a while and sing a song. You've got to walk in the Holy Ghost and begin to break through strongholds in your city. Don't let hell have the dream. Somebody give God some praise right now before we go any further. I need some moms and dads to get in the Holy Ghost and start praying right now. We're going to save some of your babies before this service is over. Come on, I already feel something breaking right now. Come on, devil, you're the last time. Have you messed with her? Have you defeated her? Have you messed with her emotions? Before this service is over, there's going to be a warrior that comes walking out of this building that says, I'm going to have revival if it kills me. A dream is a vision. It's a series of images projected in one's mind. The dream is a strong desire to accomplish or to become certain things in life. It's a desire. I've got a dream. I want to see something happen in my future. I've got a plan. I've got a passion. That's what a dream is. It's a dream. It's a future plan. It's something that you want to see yourself become. On August 28th, on 1963, Dr. Martin Luther King would step to a podium in the height of segregation, and he began to give a speech that we have labeled the I Have a Dream speech. And as he was standing in defense of civil rights and fighting for the belief that all men, regardless of their skin color, are created equal, and he dreamed of a day when people would be judged by the content of their character and not by the color of their skin. And let me just stop right here and make the devil mad. Racism has no place in an apostolic one God church. We're the body of Christ. We've been covered by the blood. I felt something break right there. You hear me, devil? You're not going to stop a church. We are one. We are one in doctrine. We are one in faith. We are one in body. Come on. That's why the church don't need to jump on the world's latest bandwagons. What they do in that culture has nothing to do with what we do in this culture. We're a one God, one body, apostolic church. We pray together. We shout together. We worship together. Your color doesn't mean anything in here. All we care about is the blood, the blood, the blood. My God, somebody ought to shout because it makes the devil mad about that right now. Come on. Yeah, yeah. I hope you're listening to this shout right now, devil. You are defeated in the name that is above every name. God, I feel the Holy Ghost in the house right now. He had a dream. He had a dream where one day people could join together as one race. And he closed this speech by speaking of the day that he dreamed was coming. When all God's children, I wish you could have seen this service tonight. When all God's children could join hands, no matter the color of their skin. And they would sing, free at last, free at last. Great God Almighty, we are free at last. But while the doctor was fighting for the dream of integration, where people, there were killers, there were dream killers that were opposing him. They were trying to kill the dream. They were trying to rob him of his dream. But even though the dream killers never stopped fighting him, he never stopped talking about the dream. He never stopped living the dream. And finally, America arrived to the day where we made the dream a reality. But now the dream killers are back and they're trying to undo everything that he did. You just hear me, apostolics. You can never give up on the plan of God in your life. There's always going to be a devil. There's always going to be a well-meaning carnal friend. There's always going to be somebody that's not happy that you're living holy. There's always going to be a There's always going to be a dream killer that's mad that you're here on a Friday night with your hands in the air. You've got to fight for the plan of God. Come on, I've come to preach tonight. I've got a dream. You've got a dream. God's got a plan for your life. Come on, I feel the Holy Ghost. We ought to worship one more time. Come on. And I'm all for reaching new people. I think we ought to storm the gates of hell and have harvest of new souls like never before. I'm rejoicing over about 15 new people in the last 2 months that have prayed through back home. That's a big deal in our church. We're excited about it. But I just hear this preacher right now. I am all about new souls coming through, but I am not about it when it comes at the cost of those of us that were already raised in church and sitting on the pews. You're looking at a pastor that is not content with the amount of casualties we have suffered in Pentecost. There's been too many backsliding happening among our youth groups. There's been too many people that were raised knowing speaking in tongues and rolling on the floor and holiness that are no longer with us today. Somewhere there's got to get a fight down in your spirit that says nobody goes to hell out of this youth group. Come on, I'm not okay with how many people are on these pews that are on their way to hell tonight. My God, I pray the Holy Ghost would baptize this house. You know too much to be lost. God, if you've got a lost family member, you ought to lift your hand and call their name out right now. Come on. We cannot afford to suffer the same casualties of previous generations. We cannot afford to lose any more young people. We cannot afford. My God, I feel the Holy Ghost right now. Come on. I've come to lift a struggler out. God's got too much invested in this generation. God's got a dream for you, Joseph. We cannot afford to let any more young people fall prey to the snare of hell. We cannot afford to be silent while they backslide out of our prayer rooms, backslide off of our music teams, backslide out of our pews. Come on, hear this, preacher. God's got too much invested in you. God, I feel something breaking right now. I've come to help some troubled young people. Come on. There are some young people in this house that are in spiritual trouble. I've come to splash some cold water on your face to try and get your focus on what God's trying to do in your life. There's a fight going on for your future. There's a fight going on for your soul. And too many things are allowing yourself to be wrapped up with are pulling you away. I'm preaching to young people right now. These are critical moments. These are important moments of your life. What you're doing right now, oh, help me, Jesus. What you're doing right now are the building blocks that the rest of your life are going to be built upon. These are important moments. These are important times. These are important years. Come on. These are years upon which the balance of your future is hanging. Hear me, teenager. Hear me, young adult. What you're doing right now, you are making decisions right now that are setting the direction of your life. You're making habits right now. Everybody that can hear my voice, I don't care what the devil's told you. I don't care what your backslidden family's told you. I don't care what your backslidden friends have told you. God's got a plan for your life, and his plan for you is to not backslide. His plan is not for you to become a drug addict. His plan is not for you to go to hell. His plan is not to waste your talents in this world. God thinks you're worth fighting for. It's going to take me some work. That's all right. But I still talk about us as teenagers. I'm 31 years old, but I still look 15, so I can preach it like this. We spend so much time caught up in stuff that aren't even important. And it's nothing wrong with enjoying your youth. Y'all still with the man in the pulpit tonight? There's nothing wrong with enjoying your youth. But there is a danger in not taking where you're headed very seriously. There's a danger in not taking what influences you seriously. There's a danger in not taking your relationships to God and being serious about your relationships, because we're living in a world and a culture that places emphasis on now. Live how you want now. Do what you want now. YOLO. You only live once. No, you live twice. And what you do right now determines where your next life is going to begin. And our world says, don't worry about the consequences. You just live the way you want to live. Don't worry about how this will affect your future. You've just got to be you. I just got to do me. I got to do it my way. Brother, you're going to wreck your life doing you. I've come to preach somebody out of your prideful carnality right now. You're not as cool as you think you are. You're not as hip and woke as you think you are. You need the Holy Ghost to shake something out of you and help you realize what really matters. Come on, are you hearing the man in the pulpit right now? It's not, well, just do what you want and worry about the consequences later. No, I've got a dream. I've got a plan that I'm fighting for. And as a result, you've got young people that reach the age of adulthood and they're still trying to live like teenagers. And you've got kids raising more kids, and there's no family values being handed down. And now we've got people being raised by single moms and dads, or grandparents, or one of the parents, that are, because they're still trying to live like teenagers. So grandpa has to raise the baby because mom and dad never grew up, because they didn't think their future would be impacted by their decisions as a young person. And so young people, you hear me, if you're going to have unrestricted living, it's always going to lead to disaster in your adult life, because where there is no value, placed on convictions, and where there is no value, placed on consecration, there will be rebellion, there will be irresponsibility, and there will be immorality, and there will be a generation of people living with scars, living with pains of decisions that they wish they could undo. This is not the will of God for apostolic young people. We need a move of the Holy Ghost to wake up a generation that's caught up in social Pentecost and help them realize it's more than a party with my friends at Mid-America. It's an encounter with the Holy Ghost. God, let's lift our hands and pray right now. Come on. Hey, Mom, I need you to lift your voice. Don't make me fight this battle by myself. We're going to save somebody's children tonight. Come on. Come on. You hear the man in the pulpit. The apostolic church is not a place of rules that's just trying to control your life. It's a place of godly convictions that are trying to preserve the dream, preserve the plan that God has for you. I am thankful that I was raised in a one God Jesus name home. You're looking at a preacher that thanks God every day that mom and dad took him to an apostolic church. I am thankful that I never saw alcohol in my refrigerator. I am thankful that I never saw cigarettes in my daddy's pocket. I'm thankful they never took me to a movie theater. I'm thankful they never took me to a ball game. You know why it's getting quiet right now? Because there's some young people that you've let the devil lie to you and say, well, you're just underprivileged. You poor little child. You can't have fun like everybody else. You hear this, preacher? I was not underprivileged. I was not deprived. I was blessed because I had a mom and dad that said he's got a dream. God's going to do something with him. We're going to preserve that. And all the parents are starting to shout right now. You hear me, young people? If you've got a mom and dad that brings you to the house of God, you ought to get up every day and say, thank you, Jesus. Don't fight your parents. Don't fight your pastor. You are blessed. You are not deprived. You are not underprivileged. You are not suffering. You are blessed. They're preserving a dream. That's why I don't have a nervous twitch from a drug addiction. That's why I don't have tattoos on my body. I had somebody preserving. Come on, we're going to preach till the giant's dead. We're going to preach till the devil can't talk anymore. Come on, quit acting like you've missed out. You've been spared. You've been preserved. Thank God for everybody that he brought out of this world. But hear me, child of God, if you've been preserved, you've got even bigger reasons to shout than anybody else does, because he preserves something. I wasn't deprived. I was so blessed. Thank you, Mom and Dad, for saying there's some places that you're not allowed to go. Even when I didn't understand it, they stood firm because they were preserving a call. You go ahead, young lady. You make it hell for your parents at home. You don't realize you're wrecking your own life. You show up with that STD because you ignored your parents and you've been slipping out that window. You're going to find out Mom and Dad weren't as stupid as you thought. God, I thought I'd have some parents shouting the victory right there. I've come to fight for your babies. I'm tired of hell lying to our privileged young people. I'm tired of the devil lying to the liberty that these young people have. You're not bound. You're liberated. You've got a dream being preserved. You've got a call being cultivated. You've got a... Devil, get your hands off of our youth. Get your hands off of our young adults. Devil, we've got a generation that's got the biggest dream that God has ever given a church. Go, somebody do what you feel right now. God called me to preach at a very young age. I heard it. My pastor heard it. And the devil heard it. And the devil heard it. And I'm telling you, the dream killers started showing up like ants as the devil was trying to do everything in his power to destroy me before I could become and have the dream become a reality. He was doing everything he could. I did not realize it at the time, but hell began sending people. Hell began sending relationships. Hell began sending connections into my life that were nothing more than dream killers who were out to rob me of my testimony and destroy the plan of God in my life. They were sent for no other reason than to mess me up so bad that I would feel so ashamed and destroyed that I could not be what God called me to be today. And as I look back over my life, I didn't realize it then. I wasn't smart enough. I thank God that somewhere I was sensitive to the man of God in my life, because he helped me navigate through that river of crocodiles, because he knew this boy's got a plan on his life and the devil's going to show up in a girlfriend. And the Hey, come on. I'm preaching to you. There will be people. There will be relationships that the devil's going to bring in your life for no other purpose but to strip you of the dream. Don't get nervous, young people. This will save you. There are people right now that you're texting, that you're meeting up with. Their only reason they're in your life is the devil's using them as a vehicle to mess up the dream. Oh no, that may not be their intentional thought, but because they're carnal and not right with God, they're being a vessel, because you have a call of God on your life. So young lady, he's sending that boy up to you that's saying things in your ear that you've never heard anybody say to you, and it's making your emotions go out of whack, because he knows that God's got a plan for you to walk in the Holy Ghost, and he wants to mar your testimony. There are some people that have got phone numbers that you've been calling this week. There have been meetups that are supposed to happen at this meeting. You got to hear me right now. You're about to throw away a dream. You're about to damage a testimony. He's trying to put a dream killer in your life.
life. You may not know what God's plan was. You may not know how far he's going to take you, but you need to get woke. You want to talk about getting woke? Get woke about what the devil's trying to do in your life. You want to talk about a woke generation? How's this? If he's pulling you in the back of a car, that's a dream killer, baby. Get away. Get out. Come on, I'm going to preach it till I feel something break in this house. I'm trying to preserve your dream. I'm trying to keep it intact. My God, I need a young person that knows how to pray to intercede right now in the Holy Ghost. Here lies the dream killer. He's going to take his last breath tonight. I'm going to get my eyes open. God have mercy. If I've ever felt spiritual strongholds resisting me, I feel it right now. He's got a whole generation of apostolics that are primed to be anointed like we've never seen, that have got more talent, that have got more finance, that have got more potential, and he's sapping their testimony. He's putting all kinds of obstacles. He's wrecking their dreams. But thank God he anointed a preacher from California to step into this pulpit and say, realize what's happening right now. The dream killer is after you. You keep praying. I'm going to identify the dream killer. This is where Joseph was at. God was bringing dreams to reality. God was bringing a poor boy to be in a place of a position to save the people of God. He was bringing him from rags to riches. And here's how God works. He don't always tell you the full fulfillment, but he will talk to you that you've got a call, and it's up to you to trust in that no matter what the opposition comes against you is. Because every step of the journey, Pastor Holmes, as Joseph is trying to get to the place where dreams become reality, where the call becomes anointing, where the calling become a place of ministry, while he's trying to journey through life, every step of the way, hell was setting up another dream killer, trying to stop him, to keep him from getting to the place that would save his family and save a generation, his own brothers. Man, I'm going to preach right here for a little bit. The ones he went to church with, the ones he ate at the dinner table with, the others in the youth group started shunning him. I'm going to tell you, it's not going to be easy when you get an anointing on your life. Not everybody's going to be supportive. There's going to be people that say, well, that's just a goody two shoes. Don't invite them to go with us. Don't have nothing to do with them. And the dream killer will start talking, saying, you don't fit in. Why are you making a deal out of this? Hey, honey, if you worship alone, worship. Don't let the dream killer. Hey. Yeah. You want to kill the dream? Kill the dreamer. His own brothers. His own brothers. Trying to kill him. Because he got favor they couldn't have. Because they couldn't get their own spirits right. And so rather than Cain bringing the right sacrifice, you'd rather kill the person that worships with you and wreck their life. Come on, can I identify the dream killers tonight? Well, don't sit by him at youth night. He wants to be Mr. Spiritual. Don't include him in our events. Don't invite him over with the rest of the youth group. His own brothers want to destroy him because they were jealous of the Father's favor. Not everybody that goes to church with you will have your best interest in mind. It's going to get tight before it gets better. Not everybody in the youth group is always a good influence. Not everybody from the so-called apostolic church across town is truly apostolic. When they start telling you, you don't have to dress that way and talk in tongues. We wear this and we talk in tongues. You don't have to keep the scissors out of your hair. You can watch Hollywood and still talk in tongues. Honey, that's the thing dream killers say. That's not what people that have got. I thought I was in an apostolic church right now. Dream killers will tell you holiness doesn't matter. They just make a big deal out of nothing. But honey, you've got a dream. Don't let the dream killer take it. Am I okay? Do I have time? There will always be those that try to make you feel stupid for being spiritual. God, I'm mad at the devil tonight. I am so sick and tired of the peer pressure making a weak, anemic generation out of a generation that's the greatest God's ever had. Come on. There are going to be people that try to make you feel like an idiot because you're spiritual and because you always worship and because you live godly. Sometimes when you've got a dream, when God's got a call on your life, it's going to isolate you from your peers. But no matter who gets mad, no matter who runs their mouth, never stop talking about what God's going to do. Never stop praying. I'm overcoming some dream killers.
The young man in this house, you're being frivolous with your relationships. And you're hooking yourself up to a dream killer who's not going to further the plan of God in your life. She's going to rip it away from you. Hey, and it's not always a woman, sir. Sometimes you got well-meaning buddies that don't give a care about being spiritual, that always constantly influence you to do things that robs a dream. Dream killers are always going to show up all throughout your life to strip you of your God-given calling. But I like Joseph's response to when his brother said, you can't hang out with us anymore. You can't come to the house anymore. You're not meeting us at Waffle House anymore. You're the tattletale. You're Mr. Goody Two-Shoes. We hate that dream. He's so self-righteous. And Joseph's response was, I'm just going to have another dream. I'm just going to pursue God some... Laugh all you want, but I'm going to become what God wants me to be. And I'm not going to let this world rip me up like he's done some of my friends that have backslid. Come on, keep dreaming. Keep praying. Keep fighting. Keep fighting hell. Keep fighting that dream killer. Keep fighting Potiphar's wife called lust. Oh, it's going to hit bumps right here. I'm about to cut the head off of a giant that is wrecking people's consecration, filling them with condemnation. We have got to kill that dream killer called pornography. There are people in this building, you watched it this week, and that's why you're struggling, feeling the Holy Ghost. You've got so much shame. You're hating yourself over it. You can't seem to get out of it. My God, we have got to break this dream killer from hell that is wrecking marriages and wrecking futures. We've got to break it. So easy. So easy. We've got the devil in our pockets. There's addicts that shouted tonight.
Yeah, my goodness. Jesus. It's good.
Is this too much for you? Is this too real? There are porn addicts that shouted tonight. They hate what they're struggling with. But it's Potiphar's wife. She presses him day by day. Lie with me. It's just a few pictures. Nobody's gonna know. You can hide it in your pocket. Come on. The dream killer every day. But there was something on the inside of Joseph. Come on. This is a youth conference tonight. Let me kick this devil in the teeth that we too often ignore. We need to kill that dream killer of fornication that sweeps youth groups. It's wrecking ladies' future. It's stripping purity. It's ruining relationships. It scars you for life.
It bleeds into all areas of your future. Let me give the disclaimer. God can forgive you of it. But just because there's those that have already done it and you've been forgiven, I don't mean to make you feel bad, but I'm trying to keep another generation from doing it. I got to preach it out. It's a scar. Once that virginity is gone, you don't get it back. It's not a game. Yeah, young people touching where they shouldn't be touching. Feeling, don't get nervous at me, parents. They've heard more junk on their iPods than what I'm preaching right now. My God, we need to quit being intimidated when the man of God tries to preach your child out of bondage. These young people know what I'm talking about. They're wrestling dream killers. God, help me right now. Trying to give teenagers pornography addictions that follows them into marriage and strains your marriage and your relationships for life. Such a short-lived sin brings such a long-term consequence. But Potiphar's wife was no match for Joseph's convictions. Even though the men of the house were gone and he probably could have got away with it, he had convictions. God, we need a revival of personal convictions. This is not daddy's belief. This is not just pastor's doctrine. This is mine. Because pastor's not going to be there when you're alone with Potiphar's wife. When it's 3 a.m. and that phone lights up with that notification, pastor ain't going to be there. But Joseph had convictions that could keep him where the preacher couldn't. And he said, I'm not going to do this and sin against my God. I've got a relationship with the dream giver. And he's got a call on my life. And you're not going to take it from me. You ready? When I was a teenager, there was a dream killer that we called friends with benefits. That's where it got offensive. Friends with benefits. Oh, we're not dating and we're not married. We just do things together that are immoral. I just have benefit. That's not benefits. That's a dream killer. Come on, I'm fighting for you. Somebody's eyes just went wide. Come on, this preacher knows how that works, brother. I was young once. I know what the conversations sound like. I know where people go. I know the games that are played. I know your little code words. It's not a friends with benefits. You've hooked yourself to a dream killer. You're putting scars. Come on. You're dealing with spirits of hell. My God, we've got to start teaching this generation the value of purity. We've got too many teenagers becoming adults, and they're wrecked in their mind from scars in their youth. You're letting the dream killer rob your testimony and destroy your purity. And if Joseph had given in to the seduction of Potiphar's wife, had thrown away his dream, his brothers and all of Egypt would have died in a famine. The devil's after more than just you, honey. If he can destroy you, he'll try to destroy your whole family. He'll try to destroy your future. The man that you don't even know you're going to marry yet, he wants to strain that marriage. He wants to put too many teenagers and too many young adults fall prey to the lie that the actions you're taking now will not affect you later in life. It's just going to stay in my teenage years. You hear this, preacher, if you don't hear nothing else, sin does not stay confined to one moment of ignorance. It's like a cancer. It spreads. It haunts. It's a dream killer. The devil's after you. Realize what's going on. Sin doesn't live in one moment of weakness. It spreads. It follows you. It gets in your emotions. It gets in your spirit. It gets in your life. It's like a cancer. You've got to kill it. Let's lift our hands right now. No, if we're going to do it, we're going to do it right. I need a few prayer warriors. Come on, crucify the dream killer. I've watched dream killers come after our young people. I've watched young people raised in a protective apostolic cocoon be stripped completely of the dream. I have watched people raised in truth be destroyed because they could not overcome the dream killers. They could not say no to peer pressure. They could not say no to that boy or that girl. They could not say no to the sports team. They could not say no to sinner's friends. They could not say no to sexual temptation. And they're a shell of what they were because sin doesn't stay confined to a few years of ignorance. Let me preach to some preacher kids right now. Hell hates you. The dream killer hates you. He wants you to get so caught up in the social scene of Pentecost of who your daddy is or isn't. He wants you distracted. He wants you caught up in cliques. He wants you wrapped up in trying to set fashion statements. He wants you so caught up in nonsense that it sucks you dry spiritually. I don't care whose son or daughter wears what. You're not here to set a fashion statement. You're here to be a force for the Holy Ghost. My God, our kids are getting caught up in so much nonsense. We've made pathetic celebrities out of people. And we've got precious young people that feel like they're worthless if they're not in that group. Oh, I knew I'd lose some people right here. That's all right. I'm going to go home to a group of people in Red Bluff. I finally got people that come every week because they want to hear me preach. I'm going to preach this out of my spirit tonight. You hear me, preacher's kids. God don't think you're special because of who your dad is. He thinks you're special because he died for you. He's got a dream for you. Come on. You're better than that. You're better than the next political opportunity. Come on, I'm preaching to a preacher's kid. You feel like you're living in a spotlight and you've got dreams, but you're running from them because you're afraid people are going to be disappointed in you. Because you feel like you're not going to live up to their expectations. I'll preach to everybody else in a minute. I'm preaching to some PKs right now. I can preach it. I've lived it. Everybody's watching you. Everybody's got a comment about you. And you're afraid to pursue the call of God because you feel like you can. If you're not this certain expectation, well, my friends are going to be disappointed. Or daddy's going to be disappointed. Or this person's going to be disappointed. So instead of pursuing the dream, you get bitter. Right. You hear me? You just live for God, and Daddy's going to be proud of you. He just wants you to be saved. You don't have to live up to nobody's expectations. You're better than that. You just live for God. You just be what God called you to be. You just don't care about who says what. You just be a leader in prayer. You be a leader in worship. Don't let the dream killer make you carnal. Don't let the dream killer make you bitter. Don't let the dream killer make you a hindrance to your daddy's vision. Pursue the dream. Pursue the call of God. Don't let the enemy get in your spirit and make you resent the church. Well, I can't do this because ministry, and I can't do this because of church. Don't let the dream killer mess your perception up. If you're not careful, hell will twist your thinking, and he'll tell you the problem in your life is the dream. It's the church holding you back. It's all that preaching hindering you. That's not what friends say. That's what dream killers say. They want to make you think the world is better. They want to make you think their opinions are liberty. But God's got liberty for you. Don't let the devil blame the dream for your frustrations. Don't let the devil blame the church for your struggles. Your problem is not with your pastor. Your problem is not with your church. Your problem is not with holiness. Your problem is with that devil, that dream killer that's trying to strip you, Joseph. There's nothing wrong with the dream. There's nothing wrong with the church. Come on. God's got a hand on your life, but you can't even see it because you're so focused on now. But you're oblivious to the dream killers that you're hooked up with right now. Your whole life. Your whole future's at stake. Everything Joseph did was through the lens. How's this going to affect my dream? Every decision he made, how's this going to hinder my walk with God? You're so caught up in fitting in with the Pentecostal scene. You look good, but you're so empty spiritually. There's been some of you that have danced, but you ain't talked in tongues in over a year. I'm talking about real tongues. I'm not talking about your repeated little phrases. No, I'm going to preach somebody out of it. You don't make a move because your family's this or your family's that. You're sucked in by a dream killer, brother. You're getting on the wrong train. You've got the wrong perception. I'm not impressed with your belt buckle. I'm not impressed with your tie. I'm not impressed with your family. I'm really impressed with whether or not you're going to live for God. I get impressed when you stand up in the midst of followers and you start being a leader and you start saying things like, nobody's going to feel comfortable being carnal in this youth group. We're going to be a praying people. That's what gets God's attention. That's what gets God excited. When he looks down on a Friday night at Mid-America, he ain't checking your necktie. He ain't checking your collar. He ain't checking your shoes, honey. He's saying, I wonder if they're finally going to get victory over that dream killer. My God, I'm fighting hell for somebody right now. I've come to fight lust. I've come to fight pride. I've come to fight peer pressure. Somebody lift your voice right now and let the Holy Ghost begin to rock your world. Come on. I'm preaching to a preacher's son right now. I beg you to be careful. You're getting yourself into a relationship. I felt it in the Holy Ghost. That's going to wreck your life because you're basing it on how she looks, but you're not basing it on her spirituality. You've got to preserve your dream. God, help us. You think your pastor don't want you to have a boyfriend or a girlfriend, and he don't want you to get married, but what you don't realize is while your emotions are out of whack, he's trying to fight off dream killers because he knows God's got a plan for your life. If you've got friends that always pressure you to do stuff you've got to lie about or that you've got to cover up, that's not a friend. That's a dream killer. Get away. God, I felt something break loose right now. Come on. Come on. Hey, Samson, Delilah is not the woman of your dreams. She's the woman that's after your dreams. She's not the woman of your dreams, Samson. She's after the dream. She wants you dead. She wants you empty. She wants you in hell. Don't let Delilah have your testimony. It's no accident that that relationship has showed up in your life trying to get you immoral. It's no accident that other stuff you're fighting is coming against you. It's the dream killer. There's some carnal relationships, you hear me, that need to end tonight. I'm preaching to some young people right now. You're hooked up in some stuff. You're hooked up into some stuff that's destroying you. I mean destroying you, and you have no clue about it. You're just playing games. Because we've taught people, my God, listen, I was in revival here for a long time. I'm all about shouting and dancing. But we've taught people how to shout, but haven't taught them how to pray. And so what happens is we've got young people that look right on the outside and know how to move when they say, I give you glory. But when they're away from mid-America and they're on the job, they have no power to handle the dream killer when they're alone. Come on, I feel the Holy Ghost right now. I'm preaching to some teenagers. I plead with you tonight. Come on, you are hooked up to stuff. And you think your whole world's revolving right now. You think you can't live without that. You think you can't live with this. Man, I'm just in bondage. You feel like the future's so far away. The dream killer's stripping your testimony. Every time you go down that road. Every time you take that phone call. Every time you turn that on. And you're saying, man, it's no big deal. And yet you're coming to church. And you're struggling feeling the presence of God. Oh, but you're so-and-so's kid. Oh, you're somebody, but you don't know how to walk in the Holy Ghost. You're so overwhelmed by the dream killer. You hear me? You can do better than what you're doing. You can live better than you're living. You can overcome it. God thinks you're worth. My God, every voice lifted right now. Go from the front to the balcony. If you know how to pray, now's a good time. I don't need any carnal people right now. Come on, pray. Come on. Come on, I plead with some young people. There are future Sunday school teachers in the building. There are future soul winners. There are future preachers. But you keep hooking up with dream killers that are trying to destroy your testimony. I plead with a young girl. Get some boldness about you. Get some conviction about you. I plead with a young man. You're walking down a road that's going to give you a life of regret. I beg you, if you can hear my voice, stand to your feet and pray. Don't just sit there and stare at the floor. Don't just sit there with your arms folded. You need the Holy Ghost to shake you. It's been so long since you've wept. You've got your nose in the air. You think you're somebody. You're not fooling anybody. Let God shake you. Let God open your eyes. Let go. I need some moms and dads that know how to pray. Pray right now. Go. Go. This is not an altar call. This is an altar pull. I'm pulling. I'm begging. I'm fighting dream killers. Come on. Pray. Come on, young man. You're not as cool as you think you are with that fresh fade while you sit there with your arms folded saying, I'm not going to be spiritual. You're not as awesome as you think you are. You need the Holy Ghost. God's got a plan for your life. You can do better than that. Go. Get your eyes open. Realize there's some dream killers in your life. There's some dream killers in your life. You better step back. You better be careful. God's got a dream. I'm trying to preserve your integrity. Come on, move. Come on, parents. Come on, adults. Step out of your seat and pray with these teenagers and young adults. There's a young married couple trying to overcome that spirit of immorality that you brought out of your teenage years into your marriage. Come on, you better kill that dream killer right now before he creates more chaos. I'm preaching to a future evangelist. I'm preaching to a future pastor. I'm preaching to a future soul winner. I'm preaching to a future preacher's wife. I'm preaching to a Sunday school teacher. I'm preaching to a future choir leader. Come on, the dream killer's here tonight. There's a dream killer sitting on your pew. He's trying to keep you from praying. I'm preaching to a preacher's kid. Come on, God don't want you to stand there and set a fashion statement. God wants you to be a fire. I'm preaching to a PK. Don't worry about people's opinions. Fall in love with Jesus. Don't get bitter. Don't get carnal. Don't just stare at the floor. I beg you to pray till tears run down your face. When's the last time you wept? When's the last time you were broken? God's got a dream for you. Don't let anybody, don't let any relationship, don't let the dream killer take it from you.